Okay, people. So it's that time of week again. I hope you are ready for another Echo Chamber. And we are hitting you with a two-parter. Yes, people, that's right. We have started hard in 2024, motherfuckers, right? We really have. But as we do, let's get kicking off with the UK box office top 10 for the weekend of the first to the third. Yeah, that's right. First to the third of March. I was just like, wait, it's March? Yeah, it's March. Right. Okay. So at number 10 is Sammy Swoy Poczek. I don't know. It's a foreign film, obviously. I'm not quite sure. Maybe Polish? I don't know. So it is directed by Artur Zumjewski, written by Andrzej Malazak, starring Miroslav Baka, Adam Boyk, Jones Chaboy, Anna Dima. At number 9 is Perfect Days. Right, this is from Wim Wenders, who co-writes it with Takazuma Takazaki, starring Miyako Tanaka, Koji Yakusho, Long Mizuma, Toki Emoto. So at number 8, The Zone of Interest, from Jonathan Glazer, who co-writes with Martin Amis, starring Sanda Hula, Christian Friedel, Freya Krutchikum, Ralph Hammerth, Max Beck. Right, so our number 7 film, it's another foreign one. It's Manjimal Boys, from Chidambaram, who writes and directs, starring Sobin Shia, Sarif Bazi, Balu Vafafaz, right, Jean-Paul Lau. Right, so number 6 is Wonka. Paul King directs and co-writes with Simon Farnaby, Timothy Chalamet, Olivia Colman, Hugh Grant, Patterson Joseph, Sally Hawkins, Rowan Atkinson, Keegan Michael Key, right, all doing their thing. So now in the top 5. At number 5, even after all of the negativity, Madam Webb is there. Right, S.J. Clarkson directs, Claire Parker, Burke Sharples, and Matt Sazama write the script. Sydney Sweeney, Isabel Massad, Dakota Johnson, Celeste O'Connor, Adam Scott, Emma Roberts, Jill Hennessy, Tahar Rahim, Mike Epps, Razia Mamet, all star. Number 4 is Migration. This is from Goylo Homsey and Benjamin Renner. Renner co-writes with Mike White. It's got a voice cast of Camille Nunnally, Trezzy Gazelle, Elizabeth Banks, Caesar Jennings, Casper Jennings, Isabel Massad, Danny DeVito, Carol Kane, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, Mike David Mitchell. Right, at number 3, Wicked Little Letters. So this is the new one from Fia Sharrock, written by Johnny Sweet, Olivia Colman, Jesse Buckley, Timothy Spall, Lolo Adefo, Aisha Weir, Elaine Atkins, Hugh Skinner, Joanna Sanshanlin, Jason Watkins, Gemma Jones, all do their thing. So at number 2 is Bob Marley, One Love. right? Rush. Ronaldo, Marcus Green directs. Terrence Winter, Frank E. Flowers, and Zach Balin write. Kinsley Benadir, James Norton, Lashana Lynch, Michael Galafani, Michael Ward, Sam Palladio, Anthony Welsh, Nadine Marshall, Umi Myers, Tossing Cole, all do their thing. So at number one, it's June Part 2. I wasn't able to see it last week. Hopefully next week I can catch this. But Denis Villeneuve returns in the director's chair and he co-writes with John Zapatis. Right, Timothy Chalamet, Xander, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, Leah Seydoux, Stellan Skarsgård, Charlotte Rampling. Boy, this cast is sick. You know what I mean? I'm hoping it's still as great as the first. And I love those books, man. So yeah, I'm hoping. But we got five films for you people. So let's get going. So, first off, let's take a look at Apple's Napoleon. Next, we have an indie mystery feature. It is called An Egyptian Affair. Okie dokie. So, An Egypt Affair. Right, Studio Dome's newest, newest series. Trotter a couple weeks back, right? It is directed by Marlon Darragh, written by Will Patching and Eric Weinstock. The film is produced by Lin Zui, executive produced by Paige Baker, Marlon Darragh, Robert Johnson, Kelly Nadell, Mona Pittenegger, Igor Pink, Robert Nadell, and Nick Dressley Thomas. It's associate produced by Carol Dressley Thomas, Will Patching, Michael Hull, Alfonso De Luca, Vicky Dawson, and Yelanth Kabu. Iran Garcia and Brandon Maz handled the music. Ian Tilson, cinematography. Nick Aquiliano, Marlon Darragh, and Ella Grace Quinn all were on editing duties. Marlon Darragh handled the casting. So our cast were: Safiya is played by Yelanth Kabu. Dylan Fontaine was Jared Harper. His wife, Alexa, is played by Stacey Marie Williams. So we've got Dylan's friend, Jake McIntyre, played by Nick Dressling Thomas. Nick's wife, Amber, is played by Leslie Grant. We've got their tour guide, Captain Amos, played by Alfonso De Luca. Then we have got Sophia's boyfriend, Darius, played by Massey Ferlan. Okay, we've also got the Diamond Merchant, played by Ala Salih. It's an Egyptologist, played by Marlon Darragh. The security guard, played by Islam Morad. Another Egyptologist, played by Hamad Osman. Another tourist, played by Fita Umrella. And Dina Gabba also plays someone at the resort. So the gist of the story is this: a husband rejected, a beautiful stranger, a dangerous liaison for two couples enjoying a spectacular Egyptian adventure, treachery and deception cruise the Nile along with them. Dum 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 dum. So that's what this is, right? It's a thriller, right? But it's one set on, you know, marital subterfuge. And that's all well and good, right? There's been a ton of films set around those kind of concepts. And they can be fun, right? They can work very well. Now we open up with this dream sequence, which, you know, played pretty well, right? has you wondering what could be going on. And then, you know, Nick wakes up, right? Sorry, Dylan wakes up. Nick, who's Nick? Dylan wakes up, and we see that there is tension between him and Alexa. We also hear him on the phone to his dad. And so you understand that, you know, they could be splitting up. Who knows? But we don't really have a clue why, right? Now, there are allusions to infidelity, but we don't know. We don't really know what's happened, what's going on, you know? And then their friends, right? Jake and Amber. Again, they look fine. But is there any, you know, situations with them? You know, what actually is going on this trip? And then out of nowhere, they are joined by two other passengers, Darius and Sophia. So it's all a little bit, I don't know. It feels really with the story. You know, the story itself is fine. The story itself is fine. But I don't really feel that our characters get fleshed out. Right? They're a little one-dimensional. So it's hard to really, you know, gel with anyone. Right? To, I think, empathize with anyone, to really like anyone, right? Because everyone just seems to be a little bit shady. I mean, the only person who's, you know, comes off decent is Amber, really. Everyone else just seems like they're kind of shady. And like, a lot of times when certain things are being said, certain things are meant to be being hidden, I think you look at it and you're like, that, I mean, anyone in that situation would know that that person is lying, right? That's the thing, like, some of the performances, they didn't give us the intrigue the story is calling for. Right, when you're having all this subterfuge, right, these hidden secrets and all of this kind of stuff, you need to be able to have someone deliver those lines in a way which you'd be like, I have no clue, right? Are they telling the truth? Huh, what? But with this, you just look at it and be like, I mean, obviously, that's a lie, right? Obviously, they're lying. You know, it's so transparent. Right? And then later in the film, someone drops a line of, you're a horrible liar. Right? But if that's the case, then, you know, things would have unraveled a whole lot sooner when these two people had a conversation earlier on in the film. You know, I think also, I think you know where it's going, right? You can read the setup. That's a big problem. You know, it's a little bit too obvious, right? Where it wants to be this, you know, thing where you're just like, oh, fuck, I never saw that coming. You know, like, oftentimes people want to pull off heists like Usual Suspects, you know, when you're just like, I had no clue he was Kaiser Sose. Like, what the fuck? Like, not everyone can do that, right? Not everyone can give you that sort of nuance. So I think, yeah, there's films like this where you're watching and you'd be like, I obviously, well, that is this, and that will lead to that, and oh yeah, they're doing this, you know, it's all very, you know, which is a shame. It's a shame, right? Because you want to be fully invested. You know, look, the film shot, I'm assuming it's shot in Egypt. You know, it looks all very nice, and you know, you see some of, you know, the ruins, and they're going down the Nile, and just the scenery is great. So you want the story to be as enriching as the scenery. But unfortunately, yeah, you know, there's bits of lies where you're just like, okay, I mean, you could have just told the truth there, right? Because when it's just two people, if no one else is monitoring, then what is stopping you from actually revealing the truth? Right, we need certain reasons and rationales, and it's just not there. So I think the real problem here really is the script. The script is just, it just doesn't deliver what you're hoping it to deliver, you know? Now, yeah. It's one of those tricky ones, because you're trying to think of, okay, what does this compare to, right? What is a similar, you know, where the story is a bit like, and, you know, it's hard. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to, you know, come with things, and I can't really, you know, think of too many films. I try and steer clear of a lot of stuff, which is going to be frustrating. I mean, Foe, right? FOE. It's now showing on Amazon. Watched it during the London Film Festival, and it just didn't really deliver on this story you were hoping it was. This supposedly, you know, the affairs and the in, it just wasn't really there. Though I do feel it's probably still tighter than this. But yeah, if you enjoyed Foe, then I think you possibly will enjoy an Egypt affair. You know, I mean, that could be the closest I can get. Like, there's other things like A Good Person, which is running on the fact that this thing happened and we don't know who actually, you know, I mean, with that one as well, you could kind of see where it was going. But again, I feel it's still stronger than an Egypt affair, right? But yeah, it depends what you're looking for, people. It really does. It's one of those ones, you know? If you do not want to think too hard about a plot, right, you're not too fast, you just want something to pass the time, maybe, then this could work for you, right? If you're a fan of, you know, the director, Marlon Dara, right, if you are a fan of Will Packing and Eric Weinstock, you know, in their writing, if you like their stuff, then yes, boom, come to the film. If any of the cast could be on your favorite actors list, then that's another reason for you to watch a film. Otherwise, I don't know. It is now available on all your favorite VODs, right? There's some links on the website. So if it sounds like an Egypt affair could be for you, people, go enjoy. Have at it. Right, so on Netflix, the new Adam Sandler joint, which is fire, is Spaceman. Okay, so, man, when you watch something and are completely just blown away, that is such a great feeling. And that just happened with Spaceman, right? That just happened with Spaceman. It is directed by Johan Runick, written by Colby Day. The film is produced by Channing Tatum, Max Silver, Michael Parrott, Peter Kerman, Tim Heddington, Reed Carolyn, Leah Bunman. It is executive produced by Ben Ormond, Jaroslav Kalfa, Barry Bernardi, and Johan Runick. It is co-produced by Matthew Stillman, David Minkowski, and Luca Burgess. Max Richter handles the music, Jacob Erie cinematography, John Axelrad, Scott Cummings, and Simon Smith edit the piece. Nina Gold and Robert Stoon were on casting duties. Production design is Jan Hollevoeg. Art direction, we have Ryan Heck, Nick Ralboski, and Chris Shiver. Set decoration, Julia Altershall, Carmen Dima, Andrea May Fenton, David Scholzinger, and Lisa Son. Catherine George handles costume design. Hair, makeup, effects, we have Iria Zampoli, Megan Tanner, Teresa Patakova, Anne Palla, Alison Imotosu, Corina C. Doran Rabuk, and Mickey Caparoso. Our cast, Jacob Prohakaza, is played by Adam Sandler. His wife, Lenka, is played by Carrie Mulligan. Commissioner Tuma is played by Isabella Rossellini. We got Lenka's mother, I believe that is Zdena, played by Lena Olin. We've got Jacob's father, Ladislav, played by Marion Roden. There is a young Jacob, played by Peter Pepernick. We've got... did I just say this? I'm not even sure. Commissioner Tuma, played by Isabella Rossellini. Peter, kind of mission controller, is played by Kunal Nayaya. Hanush, right, is voiced by Paul Danu. Who else do we have? The concierge is played by Zuzana Stivanova. The pregnant woman from the retreat is played by Sinead Phelps. Anna is played by Sunny Sandler. I thought that was her. Right. Gregor is played by John Flanders. Aid is played by Bash Doran. Who else do we have? The person who plays Hanus was Elk Loiten. Our Korean astronauts are played by Yong Lee and Kimberly Han. Bellhop is Jessica Bayanova. The sparse woman is played by Sona Beaumont. Yeah, that's the main thing. Now, the gist of the story is this. An intergalactic odyssey of love, ambition, and self-discovery. Orphaned as a boy, raised in the Czech countryside by his doting grandparents, Jakob Prokatska has risen from small-time scientist to become the country's first astronaut. When a dangerous solo mission to Venus offers him both the chance at being a hero he's dreamt of and a way to atone for his father's sins as a communist informer, he ventures boldly into the vast unknown. But in so doing, he leaves behind his devoted wife, Lenka, whose love he realizes too late he has sacrificed on the altar of his ambitions. Alone in deep space, Jakob discovers a possible imaginary giant alien spider who becomes his unlikely companion. Conversations about the nature of love, life and death, and the deliciousness of bacon, the pair form an intense and emotional bond. Will it be enough to see Jakob through a clash with secret Russian rivals and return him safely to Earth for a second chance with Lenka? Okay, so there is something with that synopsis, right? Because this film is an adaptation of Spaceman of Bohemia, right? The 2017 book by Jaroslav Kalafar, right? And I believe that synopsis is from the book, right? Because, yeah, there's no bacon. It was like a hazelnut spread, a Nutella type of thing. Okay, here's a synopsis from Wikipedia, actually. An astronaut sent to the edge of the solar system to collect mysterious ancient dust finds his earthly life falling to pieces. He turns to the only voice who can help him try to put it back together again, which happens to belong to a creature from the beginning of time lurking in the shadows of his ship. That is much better. Now, this film was phenomenal. It was fantastic. I'm telling you, right? Because what we have is, you know, a guy on this mission to space, right? This exploration for the greater good of humanity, as it were, but also intertwined with that, we have got someone both searching and running away, right? His wife is on Earth, pregnant. You know, the nation and the world view him as, you know, well, them as this devoted couple, right? And space can't hold back their love, but in reality it's something far different, you know. So we're looking at love, relationships, trauma, loneliness, all of these things. It is fascinating the way they explore it all and craft it within this kind of tale. It's so it's tremendous. Boy, you know, because there is a subtleness to what we are seeing, right? very subtle, but very clear. Now, you have this Hamush character, this alien, that's kind of spider-like, but not completely. You know what I mean? A bit like Shelobob from Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, but not quite, right? So we have this creature that, is it there? Is it in his imagination? You know, like, we don't really know, but that's not even the point. The point is the conversations, right? And the realizations, the observations that occur, you know, which is fascinating. Just, and the performances. I like Adam Sandler, man. Like those early films, you know what I mean? Big Daddy, right? God damn, my mind has just gone blank. Huh. Happy Gilmore, right? 50 First Dates, you know, love those films, you know what I mean? And recently, because there were some ones where I'm just like, no. I hated Mr. Deeds. I hated Mr. Deeds. But recently, I enjoyed Hubie Halloween, right? And then you have stuff like, but, you know, you are so not invited to my bar mitzvah, which was fantastic, right? But Punch Drunk Love has always been one of my favorite Sandler films. And I feel this is a perfect companion piece. Like, you could do a double bill of those two films, like Punch Drunk Love and Spaceman. I think it works so well together. You know what I mean? And we've seen, I feel, right? And don't forget, that Precious Gems, right? When you look at his performances, Spanglish, right? When you look at his performances in the straight films he's done, god damn, Sandler really can throw down as an actor. And this one is such a great performance. Like him, Carey Mulligan, you know, just everyone involved, kill it. But those two especially, because of the emotional toil that they have to burden, right? That they have to relay to the viewer. And the subtleness in the things that they're not saying that you are meant to understand and perceive. I will also say, right? Kunal Nayaya as well, right? And Isabella Rossellini, because what they, probably Lena Olin too, I mean, everyone's killing it, but right, what they have to give, you know, the things that they're trying to relay some information, but they're just like, but you know, we can't say this other thing, right? We're trying to help, but without being heavy-handed. It is, man, it's so good. There's a point in it when Lenka's like, the point of, something like, the point of love is you have to amputate a piece of yourself to make room for some of your partner, right? Which I don't know if I perceive it as that. I think you have to amputate some of yourself. But I'm saying, I believe it's like kind of making room, you know, where you make a drawer for someone or clear out, you know, half of your wardrobe, right? You're making space for the person you care for, right? You're letting them in. But it's the way she says it. And it's just like, I amputated so much of me. What did you lose? right? And the ferocity in there. And there's these moments in this film where it's so, like, so raw. But what you get is this exploration. Because as we have Jacob, you know, exploring space, he's exploring himself as well. And that's the joy of it, because we get these flashbacks to these moments in the relationship, like where he first met Lenka, their first kiss, right? All of these different, you know, moments around childbirth and all of these other things, right? And at the beginning, when he's talking to Hanus, it's looking at them from afar, right? But then we see him really immerse himself and understand, right, what he's seeing, and opening himself up to those emotions, to those feelings, and what they mean to him. As I said, it's a discovery on so many different levels, you know? And when you kind of understand his past, now we don't get all of it, but you can definitely draw conclusions from what we know. And it's just like, oh, you were broken, right? You were broken. So it's just like where you're chasing something, you know, you're chasing this understanding, this emotion, this feeling, this need to repent, right? Which means you close yourself off to other things. And all of that is so obvious, right? The film really gives you these things in such a powerful way. Right? So it's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film in that respect, that we get to see this, which is human. Like, how many people do you know who be like, I really want to be in a relationship, I really want a kid, I really want, you know, these certain things, but you can see they're not actually open to those things. Right? They want the superficial, like, essence of them, but they don't really understand what those things actually mean, what they bring, what you have to open yourself to for those things to thrive, right? Which is why you see relationships and things crumble, fall apart. Because people aren't actually ready, right? And so we get to see the manifestation of that in this film, and it's so good. You know, I love the fact, the visual representation of this spaceship is usually when we see these things, it's shiny, and but this, it's not, right? It looks like it was built in a Blue Peter episode. Yo, if you know, you get what that is, right? Oh, man. That's what it is, right? It's not shiny. It's great, you know? And I the fact that it's not based in America, you know, that you've got this shit from the Czech Republic. You know what I mean? Because everything is always, you know, aliens arrive in America, this, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, come on now. Not everything revolves around the States. So seeing a story from somewhere else, based somewhere else, right? Seeing a story where things look a little more realistic, right? And then couple the emotional, you know, tapestry on top of that, Spaceman is goddamn magnificent. And then I discover, right, the thing that, one of the things that really just blew me away, Johan Runick, only second film, right? Only his second film. The first was in, I think, 2008, maybe 2006. You know, done a lot of TV though. Chernobyl being his last big limited series that he directed. But the thing that I discovered, Runick, aka Shaka Bo. Good that I remember his big song, Here We Go Again, right? Oh my God. I remember that motherfucking song, man. That was huge over here, right? So knowing that my man went from Here We Go Again, Here We Go, Go, Go. He went from that to this? Yo, that's insane. That's insane. But people, what isn't insane is Spaceman. It is fucking outstanding, right? I will say, if you liked Moon, Duncan Jones's Moon, you will definitely like Spaceman. I'd put, you know, that's another double bill you could do, Moon and Spaceman, right? Because they both have that kind of themic, you know, feel to them. Right, they're dealing with mental health and emotions and all of that kind of jam. So yeah, people, this is definitely worth watching. It's on Netflix. One of Adam Sandler's best performances. Like, everyone involved kills it. The cinematography, the set decorations, the unit, like everything is tremendous. So embrace it in your lives, people, because I think it will just speak to so many. And you might take a little something about relationships, openness, you know, forgiveness, understanding, enlightenment, all of those things as well. So, Spaceman. So there's a new anthology hitting Shudder. It is Satanic Hispanic. Okay, so Satanic Hispanic is a new horror anthology hitting Shudder, right? It is directed by Mike Menendez, Alejandro Brunges, Gigi Sol Guerrera, Eduardo Sanchez, and Damian Rugna. It is written by Lino K. Villa, Pete Banstrom, and Alejandro Mendez. It is produced by Kate Page, Jamie Nash, Mike Mendez, Patrick Eswald, and Alejandro Bonges. Is executive produced by no one. Associate produced by Charles R. Young, Arantrax Suarez, Amanda Raymond, Johnny Mercer, Robert L. Lucas, Joe Hugh, Regina Fernandez, Fabio Colonna, and Mike Kleckner. Co-produced by Charlo Clorosio and Reina Shima. Okay, music was handled by Pamela De Alba, Lorendo Escarga, Gild Flores, Vito Fortas, Pablo Isla, Blake Matthew, Kyle Newmaster, Herman Nunes, and Michael Weber. Luke Bramley and Matthias Schwabat handle cinematography. Mike Mendez and Lorenzo Vitoli edit the piece. Production design, we got Danilia Mendoras and Faye Unda. Art direction, Laura Ogaberia, Galicio Duraz, Daryl Hoss, and Ria Solchicki. Megan McCormick handled costume design. Special effects, hair and makeup, we have Juan Francisco Mendez, Mimi Meyer, Lizette Santana, Susana Gomez Sentils, Kayla Sisko, Kuko Tequinio, and Ingrid Weeks. So the cast, it's a lot of people. The traveler himself is Efren Ramirez. Detective Arden is Greg Gunberg. Detective Gibson is Sonia Eddy. Officer Hernandez is Lombardo Boya. The old man is Mark Steger. Alejandro Bendez is the dead Cuban. Thomas Haley, Sean Keller, Fimo Dukic, Kent Maguire, Ace Underhill, all play police officers. Noel Jason Scott is another detective. SWAT Joe is played by Vince Lozano. Who else do we have? Gustavo is Damien Solomon. Vicky is played by Victoria Moret. El Vampiro is Hemek Madeira. Maribel is Patricia Velasquez. De La Cruz is Ari Gallegos. There's a lot of people. Nafaral Lobo is Marcio Moreno. Nafaral Pereiro is Pedro Joaquim. Nafaral Uzo is Jesus Meza. Madra Tierra is Gabriela Ruiz. Nafaral Bua is Carlos El Vasquez. Malcolm is Jonah Ray. Amy is Daniel Chavez. Miguel Christian Rodrigo. El Hafa is Jacob Vargas. King Zombie, Morgana Ignis. Gus, Mike Menendez. Carol is Daniela Madeira. Okay. Now, the gist. Right, so when police raid a house in El Paso, they find it full of dead Latinos and only one survivor, known as the Traveler. He is taken to the police station for questioning. There, he recounts tales of horrors from his life, chronicling portals leading to other worlds, mythical beings, demons, and the undead. He speaks of legends from Latin America. Satanic Hispanics tell stories by top Latino filmmakers that showcase the skills of Hispanic talent, both on and off the screen. Now, I like an anthology, right? The problem, though, with an anthology is its quality. Right, not everything is always of the same level, right? Whether that be production design, script, camera work, acting, it can be all of a mishmash. And so you might enjoy some, but you don't always enjoy all of it, which can just take away from the overall appeal, the overall experience. And for me, that was the case with this. Now, with that, you're not all going to like the same thing. So it does give everyone something, usually, you know? It's not a usual universal thing that everyone likes, you know, one story and hates another story. It's just different. So there is that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, the framing story is fine, but a lot of the, you know, interarching stories just didn't really work for me, right? Like the first one with the guy with the Rubik's Cube, you're just like, why stay in the house? You know, I'm just like, why are you in the house, son? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, leave. You know what I mean? Do not stay there. You know, so that was a bit weird. We then have got, the vampire one. That one, again, it didn't seem to give you anything. You know, because why would a vampire be there? And then just all the shenanigans to get to safety just felt a bit extra, right? It just felt like it's a throwaway story, you know, a bit like the first one. Now, when we get to that third, I don't know, you might want to call it the fifth story, right? This was the one with the, like, the guy who, is he an informant? What? I wasn't quite sure what was going on, but I thought the acting was very good. Now, I think a big thing is most of these stories did seem to be subtitled for the most part, which is a problem. Now, they weren't speaking overly fast, which is a help, right? But a lot of times the white subtitles are on the light background, so it just made it hard. But I think the big thing with that kind of weird undercover, whatever it was, story, the people that are acting like they're possessed, really, you know what I mean, really put it in. So that, I thought that was good on that ground. And then that, the last story before we conclude our overarching story, the traveler one, I thought that, again, it was pretty good. The acting of the possession and all of that kind of thing, I thought that really good. The whole Zanzibar hammer part of it, that was just a bit odd, right? Because it just kind of came out of the blue, and it was just a bit like, why would you keep on calling it, right? It didn't make any sense. But the effects and the acting, very good. The end of this story, it was better than the start, but again, it just felt a little bit, this is it, right? This is what we were waiting for. Just this. Like, we got some good effects, right? We got some good effects, but it just didn't feel like the strongest of stories. Which is a shame. It's a shame. Now, you know, it highlighted a whole heap of Latino talent, right? Directing, acting, writing, all of that. So that's, you know, cool. That's great. Hopefully it's given people the opportunity to shine, show what they can do. They can get more projects from that. But as a whole, right, as a, you know, complete entity, I just wasn't completely compelled by this, right? We've had better anthologies, you know, but as I said at the start, right, with these things, they can be so up and down. Oh, apologies, people. I'm just coming down with something. Oh, my days. But yeah, they can be so up and down that, you know, I guess you're lucky to get two stories that you kind of enjoy. But if you like the talent involved, if you like an anthology, right, if you like the last few couple of scare packages, you'll probably like this, you know? It's along those kind of lines. So yeah, Satanic Hispanic hit Shudder on Friday the 8th of March. There you go. Let's close out part one with Mark Mannion's new documentary, Quintessentially Irish. Okay, people, so Frank Mannion is back, this time with Quintessentially Irish. He produces the film. Music is handled by James Jones. Charlie Emesis edits. Yeah, we've got a cast of... who's in it? We've got Pierce Brosnan, Jeremy Irons, Prince Albert II of Monaco, Randall Plunkett, President Michael D. Higgins, Usain Bolt, Ricky Sims, and Emma Dabiri. Right there, you know, we see Shannon Horrigan, Andrew Scott. Yeah, we just basically a who's who of famous Irish people, you know? The gist is this: a love letter to all things great and Irish that reveals some surprising facts about what it means to be Irish. Enter a glamorous world of castles, palaces, and presidents that reveals fascinating views on the Irish and their vast influence on the world. Right, so yeah, there we go. Now, back in December 2022, right, on episode 232, I believe, we looked at Frank's last documentary, Quintessentially British. So yeah, I don't know if he's going to do more. Like, is there going to be a quintessentially Scottish, you know, quintessentially Welsh? Like, where does this stop? I wonder. But yeah, I mean, these things are very odd. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, national pride person. Right, I'm not flying a flag, right? I'm not wearing a, you know, football, a national football top, rugby top, whatever it is. That's not me. That's never me. I don't sing the national anthem, you know, partly because I've never felt welcome. You know what I mean? And also, when you've been chased by the National Front numerous times, you don't really want that association, you know what I mean? But you know, I know there's a load of people that do wear that as a pride. You know, I'm proud to be Irish, I'm proud to be Scottish, I'm proud to be British, all of that, which is fine. I don't really care, you know. But yeah, this kind of thing is probably made for those type of people, you know, because it's just, I don't know, just talking to a load of, it just feels like it's conversations with random people about, you know, being Irish. There's some interesting conversation. Like, the, you know, conversation with Pierce Brosnan was pretty interesting at the beginning, right? Because, you know, it was just like him and his wife took a chance, basically. She came up with the money and they went to America, you know, and it just so happens that the first casting call he went on was Remington Steele, which is just like, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? So that stuff, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But it doesn't really have anything to do with being Irish. You know what I mean? That's Pierce's story. You know, that's interesting, but that's just Pierce, right? There is a point when Frank said to Pierce, he's like, oh, some would say you've got the, you're living the American dream, but would you say it's the Irish dream? And Pierce was just like, well, I mean, it's my dream, right? This is what I wanted to do, and I ended up making it happen. So that's great. I don't know if I can say it's anyone else's, and that's what it is, right? You know, like, what you may perceive as being quintessentially is going to be different to someone else. You know, there's a lot of sweeping statements that get made with these sorts of things, right? Like, oh, the Irish are so welcoming. The Irish know how to have fun. The Irish are, and it's just like, I mean, I've known some really friendly Irish people. I've known some asshole Irish people. You know what I mean? It's just what it is. It's the same with everyone. You know, like, whatever country they're from, there's going to be nice people. There's going to be shit people. There's going to be indifferent people. Like, you can't ever say this nation is this, this nation is that. No, because that's ludicrous. You know what I mean? Like, it's when you hear people be like, oh yes, all Germans are Nazis, right? It's dumb, right? Those sorts of statements are stupid. So it is a little bit bizarre, I find. And again, that might just be me. That might just be me. I mean, to be honest, people, I'm feeling like shit today. So, you know, sitting through a 2-hour documentary is not being the easiest of things. There's just all of these, you know, because it's like talking about Irish wine, right? And they're like, oh yes, did you know there's Irish wine? And it's just like, oh, interesting. I'm thinking, oh, what part of Ireland do they have the vineyards? Now, basically, it was some Irish people went to Bordeaux, right, and set up vineyards in Bordeaux. So it's like, okay, so it's Irish, you could say it's Irish owned wine, but, you know, it's not actually Irish wine, right? Because it's like champagne. Champagne is champagne because it's made in that one district, right? And I think that's a big thing. You know, it's like, I think Guinness, you know, you can't call it Guinness if it's not made in Ireland. I mean, there's only two places in the world that are allowed to make Guinness. And I think that's Jamaica and Nigeria, I believe. You know, but anywhere else, I think you just call it stout, right? I believe that's the thing. I think stout is Guinness, but just, yeah, not made in Ireland, right? So that's the thing. So you can't say that, but then say, oh, that wine is Irish, right? Because it's made in France, right? You can say it's Irish owned, though it's not anymore. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just, I don't know. There's a load of random things like that. Now, there's some interesting history, but I think everywhere's got interesting history. When you break it down, you know, there's been migrations from most countries, right? Like, I think it's when people do those 23andMe's, you know, it's just like, oh, I've got some Norwich, Norwich, Norwegian in me, some Dane in me, some German, some French, and some, yeah, because, you know, everyone just moved around a lot. You know what I mean? You have invasions and attacks and stuff and rape and pillage and blah, 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 blah. So you get that mix. Like, people from Ireland went to America, right? But people from England, people from Jamaica, people from Nigeria, people from so many places went to the States, right? You know what I mean? So, yeah, you can, there's certain countries that do have a large imprint, you know, and when you have that, you have people doing extraordinary things. You know, you'll have people, you know, who built the White House, who, you know, built something else and built this other thing and did this other, yeah, because, I mean, what do you expect to happen? You know, so it, I mean, look, there is definitely some interesting things in this documentary, but I just didn't, I didn't feel it needed to be 2 hours. I thought 2 hours was very long, and there is this irritating music played throughout. Like, you've got people talking and this irritating music is playing, and I hate that. I am not a fan of musical beds when there doesn't need to be one. I'm just like, yo, let the conversation be the thing that pulls people, right? That's the selling point. We don't need the other stuff. Like, what are we doing? You know? And there was one thing that really, really irritated me about this documentary, right? Everything else is just very subjective, right? And it's whether, you know, as I said, like, are you that person who flies the flag, you know? But this one, there was this, two people said this thing, because, you know, again, a couple of people, Sadiq Khan was one of them, who is a toady, right? But it was just like, there was a time when, you know, there'd be signs that said, no blacks, no Irish, no docs, right? And then this professor, I forget his name, he's just like, oh, but we changed that, right? Through hard work and determination, we changed that, so we were accepted everywhere. And that's like going, oh, so are you saying that racism is because, you know, let's say just black people just didn't work hard enough, right, weren't determined enough to stop it, right? That's why it still exists. You know, the Irish, they fixed it. They fixed their racism. But yeah, black people, you know, Jews and Chinese, all of these, you know, it's still, because they just didn't work hard enough. It was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? It was, the one thing that was genuinely just fucking stupid, I thought, about this, you know, like the end was a bit dumb, because it was just like, oh, can you tell me what an Irish goodbye, can you demonstrate what an Irish goodbye is? And it's just like, oh, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, that statement that negates what the Irish goodbye was, because an Irish good is, you know, you're talking to someone and you think they've maybe gone to for a drink, gone to the loo, something like that, and they just, yeah, they're gone. They're not saying goodbye or anything like that. But if you're saying, oh, can you show me what I... It's just like, oh, very stupid. But yeah, I'm in a bad mood. I to be honest with you, even if I was in a good mood, this wouldn't be for me. But, you know, as I said, like, these things aren't, you know, I give it a watch. Yes, because, you know, I'm working with a new company. So I was like, yeah, I'll give this stuff a watch. And as I said, look, there's some interesting things for sure. We do get some history, some stuff that you didn't know, right? I genuinely didn't know an Irish man built the, well, designed the White House. Didn't know that. Interesting, you know? But yeah, I just think broad statements, you know, sweeping statements, they're not my thing. So, you know, quintessentially Irish, like quintessentially British, not for me. But if you like quintessentially British, right, if you like, you know, these sorts of things that take a look, you know, it's for the people that like, oh, best of the 80s, right, best of the 90s, you know, those kind of shows. If they're your thing, then quintessentially Irish will be for you. And people, it will be dropping on a VOD near you on the 12th of March. So mark it down. Yeah, if you're interested, quintessentially Irish, 12th of March. Okay, so before we close down part one, let's take a look and see what's happening in the world of film. So, Joshua Jackson has decided to wax on and wax off. That's right, people. He has joined the cast of the upcoming new Karate Kid film. So, yeah, he joins Ben Wong, Jackie Chan, Ralph Macchio, and whoever else is in it. No word on what his character will be, though. All right, so other news and another casting bit. James Gunn, Superman film, right, as it's now known. He has cast his Perry White, and it will be none other than Wendell Pierce. Now, this isn't that surprising, but Jason Blum, right, Blumhouse, it changed its name because they bought Atomic, they joined up with Atomic Monster, didn't they, I believe. But he's got the Friday the 13th franchise, right, and they want to do to that what they did to Halloween, you know what I mean? So, I mean, and when you think about, the recent merger, his choice of director kind of makes sense, right? He said, Friday the 13th is what I would do. It's not a Blumhouse project, but I'm trying to will it into being one. It's just a piece of IP I've always loved, and James Wan and Atomic Monster are very passionate about it. And I think we would have them shepherd it for us. That would be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? It aligns. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Now, it's an odd one, right? In 2016, we had that film, The Accountant, starring Ben Affleck as a secret agent business. Supposedly it was popular, right? So we're getting a sequel. And, you know, Gavin O'Connor is back to direct it. The script is from Bill Duquette. And returning will be Ben Affleck, John Bethnal, J.K. Simmons, and Cynthia Adabi Robinson. So, yeah. I don't even know, right? It's a odd one, but supposedly it was fire. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to get, people. That's what we're going to get, a sequel. Now, it all went very odd for Johnny Depp a while back. He got sacked from a load of things, and then, you know, he seemed to win the court case, so he's back at work, and supposedly he might be back in Pirates of the Caribbean. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel he should stay away. I feel he should stay. I think he's done it, you know what I mean? And it'll be good just to get new roles for, because we know Johnny Depp is a great actor. But with the pirate films, after the first one, it just felt like, I don't know, it became a caricature. But who knows, right? Who knows? Now, what I find very interesting, and we're going to end on this, so the Ballerina, right? It's a spin-off from the John Wick universe. It was meant to come out this year, but we then heard there's going to be extensive reshoots, right? And along with those reshoots, we get new additions to the cast, those being David Castadina, Sharon Duncan Brewster, right? They have joined. No word on what their roles will be, though, right? But yeah, Chad Stahelski, you know what I mean? He's now steering the ship, you know, the whole franchise, right? So, you know, I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. Because obviously there were holes. It wasn't as good as it could be. And after the mess of the Continental, right, we want strong motherfucking films. So hopefully that's what this will be. But people, 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 that is us for part one. But there is a part two, right? We talked to Terrence Alleen about his new film Elementary, so make sure you pop over and see that. Share this one with your peoples. Go sign up to the YouTube, and yeah, see you in a minute. Peace.